schedule, residents accumulate in my room on an afternoon in December when five people who've never been in the same space before together converge to meditate in sound with no advance intentions up front except, let's listen. I find myself thinking that this is an activity that's more relaxing to do than to not do. And I think no one is ever uncomfortable in here. No one ever uncovers anything about themselves that they don't feel comfortable revealing or discovering. But Sunday, when that session was over, Mark Dale said he'd never felt this way doing music before. When he heard the tape, he'd never heard himself sound like that before. And he needed to go home and think about it some, because he wasn't at all sure he liked how it felt. He wasn't at all sure that he was comfortable about how it all sounded. Mark Dale's the person you mostly heard on guitar and cymbal sound on the tape. Mark's a veteran rock improviser. He'd done all kinds of far-out music things, but this really shook him up. And actually, it's people like him, like performers with all that music in them going for them, that started me, I having been a composer all my life, feeling concerned about how people like me were using the musicality and selfhood of people like him in our elevated masterpiece making. And I was feeling concerned about how the culture was making monkeys of us both by suckering us into the whole masterpiece mongering head. Concerned I was about how much benefit of our own expressive talents we were getting, and how much we were getting from each other as long as I was mostly present to him as a regimented score to obligate himself to, and as long as he was mostly present to me as the fulfillment of such an obligation. It doesn't matter whether the obligation was to me, to culture, to music, or to the public responsibility to get it out there where everyone can hear it, except maybe the guys who are putting it out. The result was paralyzing to both of us. And that's when I started asking people to come to my house and meditate in sound with me, without having any advance idea of what it would be like, in fact, wanting mainly to discover what would happen. And the last thing I'd want to be doing is to be polishing up what I already know how to do, rather than to get places I've never been before, to let my musicality have the kind of experiential and social range that my verbal activity has, and maybe a lot more besides. And the fact that we're quite genuinely fixed on trying to get ourselves into new places, and that we're quite genuinely doing that just for our own and each other's benefit, and it's not just a new wrinkle to get us a little stylistic or propaganda edge on the competition, that authenticity of intention really seems to translate into a different experience for us, at least, in both playing and playing back. In one way, that difference came out was in getting Mark Dale upset, because the expressive value of what he was hearing seemed to deny the meaning of his training as a professional musician. It seemed to deny any expressive priority to any definable competence. It seemed even to go the opposite way, to make the whole idea of competence and technique seem antithetical to the path of expressive self-discovery we were traveling. Yes, and on that path, it seems so critical not to know by definition what it is we're doing or where we are, but only by awareness, by responsive attention to the sense of now. Listening is the primal act of composition. And primarily, composition is the palpable act of listening. And whether our medium of activity is identifiable at any moment as verbal language, music, poetry, theater, socializing, learned discourse, political propaganda, mating calls, or spiritual transports isn't discernible to us on purpose. Because tying down those categories is a function of the public art, organizing the channels of education, exhibition, and recognition. But in the quest for discovery and expression, anything that predefines and limits awareness by category is likely to get in the way of open and interested perception. So when a woman writer I know showed up at my house with a text to riff on and a friend to riff with, I couldn't relate to the text as a verbal reader. It was too personal and female. And so I sat down at my synthesizer to pick up the emanations of their reading. and I couldn't tell you what medium we were practicing that day. And when a few years ago I wrote a text called Language as a Music, it seemed to me it was a piece of music in words, or maybe a discourse in sound or something.